Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback episode number 411. This week we bring you the first hour of the 1997 WWF Survivor Series. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, the other half of the watch-along tag team champions of the world, Mr. Shane Chattos. Shane, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1997, and remember that faraway time when the World Wrestling Federation was run by Vincent Kennedy McMahon?
Yes. I've been waiting on this for a week or better here now, and I got some interesting tidbits I'd like to add to my pithy observations.
Absolutely. Absolutely, so, brother.
Yes, I'm absolutely ready to roll.
Okay, let's first of all, thanks to everybody listening here, and we invite you to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. The business is good in the U.S. and Canada when we're doing like major shows like this, so thank you for all that. And if you want to advertise, you can also go on patreon.com/waybackplayback, and it'll explain to you how to do that if you like that sort of thing. Okay, now we're going to take you back. The time is November 9th, 1997. Sunday, November 9th, 1997, 25 years ago. Now, the night before this, the Survivor Series, the WWF is at the Cobo Arena in Detroit in front of 7,286 fans. This is back in the era when Shawn Michaels did not work many house shows. So, night before Survivor Series, the show features Vader defeating Farouk by disqualification. And in the main event, in a six-man tag, it is The Undertaker, Steve Austin, and Mankind beating Bret Hart, the British Bulldog, and Jim Neidhart when Steve Austin pinned Jim Neidhart. And that was the main event around the horn for like the shows leading up to Survivor Series. So.
And Shawn wasn't on the card that night?
No, not on the card.
Yep. Okay. Well, that makes okay.
He was not. He would be on house shows rarely in this era.
A week or so later, I'm in Baltimore at a Sunday afternoon house show, and Shawn's there, but he doesn't work. And he's in Triple H's corner against The Undertaker in the main event. Arena. I looked that one up. I bet you it's within 14 days of
makes sense.
Yeah. It's before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. All right. Running opposite the Survivor Series on Sunday, November 9th, World Championship Wrestling is in West Plains, Missouri. I don't have attendance for that one, but your lineup, your featured matches, the Steiner Brothers defeat Harlem Heat, and in the main event, the United States champion, Kurt Hennig, defeats Ric Flair by disqualification. I think Flair hit him with a chair or something. So that was a hot issue. Hennig had betrayed West Plains, Missouri, not White Plains.
West Plains, Missouri. Yep. I've never even heard of that town, so I can't. That's probably a 2,500 or 3,000.
Yeah, I don't think
that
it
was a hot issue. Yeah.
Yes, Blair it was. Hennin, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Also, the previous night was Saturday, November the 8th, when ECW was at the ECW Arena for a show called Ultimate Jeopardy. I don't remember exactly what the stipulations were, but on that show, it was the ECW World Champion Bam Bam Bigelow retaining by defeating Shane Douglas. But that wasn't the final match. The final match of the night was ECW TV champion Taz teaming with Tommy Dreamer to defeat Sabu and Rob Van Dam when Dreamer pinned RVD.
Okay.
All right. Oh, and independent shows. I got one for you. The NWA was in Gainesville, Florida on November the 6th, which is a Thursday night, in front of 400 people. On this show, it was Dory Funk Jr. defeating Steve Kern, exotic Adrian Street defeating the Fire Cat, Brady Boone, and in the main event, the NWA World Champion Dan the Beast Severn defeats Typhoon. There you go.
Nice.
Now, Shane, in the words of Bill Cosby, I told you that story so I could tell you this one. From The Observer that week, Dan Severn had a weird altercation with Dory Funk Jr. after a show on November 8th in Gainesville. I don't know whether it's okay. Believe it or not, it was in no way a work, and I can say that 100%, even though I'm sure most won't believe it. Marty Funk threw a drink on Dan Severn, who got upset, and Dory had to defend his wife. They ended up in the ring with about 50 to 75 onlookers. They did not fight, but they did wrestle each other, with reports being that Severn was too quick and technical. But they mostly tried to stretch each other before Furious Severn left and went to his hotel room. The local police showed up to arrest people just after it broke up. So,
let me tell you something about this.
Okay.
I had never heard this story repeated until you just mentioned it. I'd never heard this anywhere else. I do know from multiple reports, Marty Funk is not an easy person to get along with, according to anybody who's ever met her.
Yeah.
And Dan Severin, based on my experiences, and I think that yours were similar.
Yes.
Is nothing but a gentleman unless he's competing or he's angry.
Yes, he is.
And Dory Jr. is a pretty mild-mannered guy. So
you really have to work to piss off Dan Severn.
Yeah, and I think you have to work to piss off Dory Funk Jr.
That's true.
But I don't think that I've heard multiple reports through the years about Marty, and I've never met her. I have met Junior many years ago in Knoxville, and we worked a show or two.
I did get to interview him on my podcast. Yes, so
Severn was an easygoing. I wish I would
and have Severn too.
Taken with Severn, you know.
Yeah, we should have all done that.
He had all those belts that night. We could have had fun with that, but
yeah,
it didn't happen. But good Lord Almighty, can you just imagine watching those two in the ring at an independent show wrestling around?
Like after, I'm guessing this was after the show or something, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would have loved to have just been there just to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, one time a day, it wasn't uncharted water for these type of things to happen between talents in the locker rooms. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a man's world.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say, it's not so much a man's world like it used to be.
Yes, that sort of thing nowadays is called something else, like toxic masculinity or whatever the hell, you know.
Yes, and we're all supposed to be ashamed of it, you know.
Yeah, well.
Sorry.
Well, if any women ask, we're ashamed of it. Okay, how's that?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to offend the women who listen, but you know how it is.
Yeah, I've been in locker room situations.
Yes, I know you have. You've started locker room situations.
Unfortunately, yeah, there are a couple times I did. I mean, I'm not anything I'm necessarily
and finished them. So yeah,
and finished them, yes. Which I'm somewhat prouder of than the ones I started. But I mean, it was a man's world. Those guys never had nobody went on Twitter or the internet and buried each other. They went to the ring and they solved whatever the problem was.
They worked out their stuff and they kept it, you know, in house. Yeah,
good for them.
Yep. Men. All right. Oh, and one more.
All the kids.
And I got one more show result to give you. The MEWF, Saturday, November 8th in Kaiser, West Virginia.
I thought we ran around that time, but yeah.
We ran in Martinsburg, but they tried to break into that. That was about the time they were trying to break into Martinsburg and Kaiser and all that. Yeah. It was Cue Ball Carmichael beating Doink the Clown, and in the main event, Salvatore Sincere beat Corporal Punishment.
Okay. Well, here's what you got there. Corporal Punishment is the assistant booker at MEWF at this point, and will
soon be
the head guy in MCW.
Right.
Doink the Clown is our dear friend Bob Starr.
Bob Starr.
Cue Ball Carmichael is a well-traveled, respected veteran.
Cue Ball Carmichael is Cue Ball Carmichael. You either, and if you know, you know.
Yes. And of course, you know, Tom Brandy is one of the best guys that I've ever met in the wrestling business, bar none, and probably one of the best unheralded workers that there's ever been. Probably should have been a far bigger star than he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a great class worker and a good friend, and still active.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Good. And still good. I worked him 2 months ago. He's still good.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Still good. 56 years old is Tom. And unbelievable shape and can still
doesn't
go.
Look it. Yeah.
Not a bit. God love him. I can't say enough good things about Tom Brandy.
Okay. Now the pro wrestling news, well, the other pro wrestling news going into this show, I guess we'll lead with this one. The WWF champion Bret Hart has given notice to the WWF and has signed a 2-year deal with World Championship Wrestling.
This is the biggest story of all time.
Yeah. And this is a story that's just, you know, at the time it was pretty hard to wrap your head around. It's like,
yes, and this is at the beginning of the internet. This is the first big wrestling story of the internet. Cause I remember a guy I worked with was printing things off for me off America Online and all these different websites.
It wasn't me at this point. So, yeah.
No, it wasn't you. No, I mean, I was like, where is this coming from? What is this? We're reading this. And it's like the TV is just so fascinating during this era. It's like, I got to thinking when we decided that when this show won the poll, it's like, this is one of the most talked about wrestling events of all time.
I mean, yeah, and my first thought is, how have we not done this one before? But
And I can barely recollect the undercard. Right. The main event is one of the two most famous American matches in modern wrestling history.
Well, Shane, in about 5 minutes, you're going to remember why you can't recollect the undercard.
Yes, that's what I'm kind of afraid of. But we're going to have at our own observations, because everybody has talked the main event to death and conspiracy theories, this, and it was a shoot, that, it was a work, that. I have not watched the entire match since the night I saw the match. It happened. I knew it wasn't right. I knew something wasn't right, but I've never watched the entire match again. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those matches that I remember where I was when I saw it.
Yeah. Okay. I think everybody does.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's going to take us a couple hours and a couple weeks to get to. But
here we go.
I'm hoping to see some different things in there. That's like, here were the clues,
right?
You know,
stuff
that we all know.
Well, I will. I need to print out. Actually, I just need to look this up on my phone, because as you'll recall, or maybe you don't, about a week or two after this happened, Dave Meltzer, with the permission of Bret Hart, put up his entire story from the Observer about this night.
Yeah,
you know, for free on the internet, just to clear everything up. And I don't think he's never done anything like that since. And
Dave Meltzer's coverage of this particular event was top notch. This was Dave Meltzer in his prime.
Yep.
As a legitimate reporter of wrestling news. And I know that it's very easy for a lot of people back then to have dismissed him as strictly gossip. And I think sometimes Dave Meltzer would get his snarky comments in the way and get himself over. But that was the nature of
the dirt sheets there, you know.
Yeah. But at this point, I think that he was probably at his best as an objective journalist. He's obviously a very knowledgeable guy. He's not like what he's become now. I mean, I still read the Observer, but it's a little bit of a parody of what it used to be. You know, when you're rating 6-minute TV matches, 5 stars, and just kind of an in joke now. But
I'm not going to disagree with you, but I can tell you, Shane, Wrestling Business is a parody of what it used to be.
Well, that's touche. Yeah. Touche.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I've got the article loaded up here on the phone. So if for some reason we end up with a dull portion during this first hour, I will start reading. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Fair enough. There we go. Okay. Other wrestling news. New Japan announced the unified cruiserweight title currently held by Shinjiro Otani, the J Crown, is being broken up. The reason is one of the 7 cruiserweight belts that Otani holds is technically the WWF light heavyweight title, and the WWF wants it back because they're going to start a light heavyweight division.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, the famous WWF light heavyweight division.
Yes, we've done the Rumble 98, and we've done WrestleMania. No, we haven't done WrestleMania 14, but I guess when we do WrestleMania 14 or the No Way Out before then, we can talk about that in detail. And the number 3 story here, Stevie Richards quits WCW after having a real life falling out with Scott Levy, aka Raven. He quits the company and he's injured, and his plan is to open a video arcade store in Philadelphia. This is according to Dave Meltzer.
He got into an argument with his friend.
Well, he figured out that once he wasn't the argument meant that he wasn't going to be part of Raven's program, and he figured without the tie-in for, with Raven, he was going to be like at the buried even farther than he was already. So,
well,
yeah, well, sure. All right. Well, we all took ourselves a little bit too seriously. Anyway, we'll be back.
Yes.
Start this off after this timeout. And hello, everybody listening here on the podcast. We want to tell you about what we've got going on our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback. We'll get that in real quick. But we've been doing a lot. The latest thing that we did. Oh, geez. I'm trying to. And now I'm drawing a blank, Shane.
We did Johnny Saint and David
right.
Finley from World of Sport.
Yeah, we did World of Sport. Johnny Saint versus Fit Finley.
Yes, and it was and a great 25-minute broadcast, in my opinion.
And that should be
I
up.
I get really pumped up. I get really pumped up about the deep dives. I mean, it's fun sometimes to go through, like, these classic cards, and sometimes some are better than others, and that's just kind of what the hand that you're dealt. But when we're just dealing with individual matches or TVs and stuff, we're just kind of picking stuff that it's off the beaten path a little bit, and that's what motivates and excites me. I like different styles of wrestling. I love different angles. I love the philosophies and the differences, and that's really what it's about. When you're getting up there at the Black Scorpion tier, we're digging down deep. I mean, we're trying to make it attractive to the purchaser. We want, obviously, all the benefits of all the patron, the previous shows and so forth. But, you know, not only do we have the past, we have the current. And the current means that we're digging down deep. And we always try to bring our best in terms of insight and analysis.
We do.
I don't find this to be a particularly snarky show as far as,
It can be, but we're mostly trying to, and this is going back to when I was doing the show with Jim, we're mostly trying to do one-liners to crack each other up, so.
Sure.
Rather than try to.
And there's fun in that, and we like to laugh, and, we have a lot of personal experiences to draw off of, but I think deep down, Patrick and I both love and respect professional wrestling. It's been such a big part of our lives, and, and I try to bring whatever I can bring to it. So if you got $5, $9, a contribution of some sort, spend a little bit of extra money towards the Black Scorpions here and tell me what you think about how we did.
Yeah, that's what we like. If you want the Time Traveler tier, you can go on there and for the somewhat low price of, I think, $4.69 a month. That sounds right for some reason. You can get all of our past episodes, this is episode 411. So that's a lot. Plus, you get, the current shows without commercials and in advance of when the podcast feed goes up, which a lot of people seem to like. So
yeah,
we can do that. And we threw in a few bonus things in there, like, our watch along with Bob Cook of Heroes of Wrestling. That's still in the Time Travelers tier, and that's a classic. That's on YouTube. You can watch that without having a Peacock subscription. Exactly. It's all there. It's the shows with Shane, the shows with Jim Valley, shows with other guest hosts. Lodi coming by for a Thanksgiving episode to do World Class with me, which was very nice of him. Let's see. Wow. It's a lot, and we don't mind bringing it to you. I want to thank Wade Keller for making some of those, for working with us to make sure that some of the shows that were only available on Pro Wrestling Torch available to you through Patreon. Thank you, Wade. Good man. And we hope to give you dozens, maybe hundreds of more shows in the coming years. And we're coming up on our 8th anniversary, and really, we couldn't do this without you. So thank you very much, everybody. And let's see. Hopefully Shane will get some more hats that he can sell you, too, or some T-shirts.
Absolutely. Call me. Tell me about some hats.
That's right. We're here. All right, and we're back. I am at 0 minutes and 0 seconds, of the 1997 Survivor Series. I've got a black screen. Shane?
Yes, I'll be right there. I'm at 2 seconds. I'm at a black screen, but we'll be together here soon enough on it.
Okay, this is Survivor Series 97, November 9th, 1997. The Molson Center in Montreal in front of 20,593 people, 18,101 paid. And we're all going to hit play together. Oh, are you still in your commercial?
No, I don't. No, I'm not on
you ready? Commercial. Okay, so we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And here we go. Oh, there's Shawn Michaels.
He's just
WrestleMania 12.
Date my daughter was born, March 31st, 1996.
Wow, that's something.
Yeah.
Does she know how lucky she is to be born on the day of WrestleMania 12?
Yeah, I bought her a copy of the DVD some years ago.
Okay.
I watched it through a scrambled screen while her mother was in labor.
Oh, wow.
See, and that was the big setup.
Right.
You've had over a year and a half, almost 18 months. The things have been brewing. Bret Hart
Yes.
has lost the title and left in large part because his expectation was that Shawn Michaels was going to fall on his face and self-destruct.
And his other expectation was that a show that he was an actor on, Lonesome Dove, was going to get picked up, and he would be acting. He would be a part-time wrestler and a part-time actor.
Yeah, I remember he was doing that show, but I don't think that.
Well, I think he
genuinely thought he wasn't going to be. He was going to be a part timer.
Well, I mean, that was leverage for Bret, though. Oh, there we go. Yeah, spits on
sure.
him.
Oh, big loogie.
SummerSlam '97. Yeah, but for various reasons, there had not been the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels rematch, and there were at least two occasions where that rematch was booked and did not happen. Once due to Shawn,
a lot of TV time.
Yeah. One due to Shawn losing his smile before WrestleMania 13 and basically claiming he was injured and backing out of being in the WrestleMania 13 match against Bret. We got Bret versus Shawn Michaels, which was Bret versus Steve Austin, which turned out okay, by the way.
Yeah.
And 97 King of the Ring, where Bret was injured before he was supposed to face Shawn. Legitimately injured, and they couldn't do the match. And it was Michaels versus Austin at the 97 King of the Ring, a show which we haven't done, but we could at some point. Oh, and this is Melton Bradley Karate Fighters presents Gang Rules, the WWF Survivor Series.
They sponsored that a couple years.
Yep.
2 or 3 years they sponsored the Survivor Series, one of which was the one in Landover that I went to.
Yeah, 95.
Diesel and Bret. Yeah, great time. Great times. I got comp tickets that year. Thank you to former referee Handsome Howard Goldman for giving me those tickets, as I recall.
Good job, Howard. 96. So 96 was Madison Square Garden for the Survivor Series, and
yes,
did that show. And that's yeah.
This
oh, they
place is on fire. Let's build.
Oh gosh, yeah.
You're not even there, and you can sense the excitement. But
people know that one way or another, Bret Hart is supposed to be leaving.
Even the people who aren't smart are sitting near people who are talking about it, who maybe have had the internet, have heard these rumblings or heard some, you know, it's just such a hot time to be a fan because WCW is still the overwhelming number one promotion at this point in time.
But Zeus.
The television that the WWE was putting out was increasingly more fascinating.
Yes.
And, I don't know that the in-ring quality is better than WCW because WCW has
no. It wouldn't be for a while, you know.
Yeah, but the main event stuff is almost invariably off the charts for WWF at this time.
Oh no! Carlos Cabrera and Tito Santana are here. Yeah.
Arriba!
Yeah, Carlos. Helen 316. Buy more 316. Oh wow. Oh, yes. Benedict Bret. Oh, here we go. All right, so these are the French announcers or the German? Jean-Jacques and Ray. Okay, here we go.
Oh, that's Jacques Senior. I don't remember
that.
I don't remember that.
And I'd like to give kudos to the fan who had the Iron Mike Sharp rules sign, except you misspelled sharp, buddy. Other than that.
Yeah, put a D on the end of that. And we're kicking things off here.
With a traditional Survivor Series match, 4-on-4. The Headbangers and the New Blackjacks are a team.
Oh, good Christ. I have no, I don't remember this at all.
I will quote from Mick Foley's book, Dewey Foley on Christmas Morning. Daddy, doesn't Santa know I hate the new Blackjacks?
Barry just never looked right with dark hair. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Looks too much like his dad.
Oh, yes. Yes, the
not
feud between...
at all with Blackjack Mulligan.
Yeah, the feud between the Headbangers and the New Age Outlaws is out of control. And I don't think they're even called the New Age Outlaws yet.
Oh, look at the blood on Glenn Ruth's head here.
Yeah.
Sorry, Thrasher.
Yeah. Maple okay, Leaf, so Love, and
Freaks. We know who two of these guys are on this team, but who are the other two? Is a...
Oh, well, there they are. Henry and the heel Henry and heel Phineas, the heel Godwins.
Yeah, you can see these four as a tag team. I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all very Southern. But the new Blackjacks and the Headbangers as a combination is one for the books.
That is something. Wow. Okay. Okay.
Confederate flag, stars and bars.
Yep.
Because they didn't black it out.
No.
Peacock here.
Yeah, Peacock. Peacock. You know, not exactly on the ball here, but all right. Give me a can of whoop ass. Okay. Hello, Godwin.
Have the outlaws stolen the Blackjacks hats?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, so they've not only smashed the Headbangers. AM/FM cassette player under their heads, but they've stolen the Blackjacks hats and are mocking them. So, grudge match personified here, kicking
all
off.
All right, that's nothing like a hot opening match here.
Is this by any chance the free for all?
No, it's not. There was no free for all match.
There was not. See, nope. I used to love the free for all.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great idea. You bait people in, get them in here.
So I mean, they did that with the Ring of Honor show here. Tonight. Yeah.
Well, then of course, you know, a couple of years ago, the WrestleMania pre-show matches got to be so long. They had like four matches during the pre-show, and they had them on. My all-time favorite though was when Ryback was working with Kalisto, and he put on his singlet, the pre-show stopper. that just, for whatever reason, I found that hysterical. Of course, that was just a couple of weeks before he finally quit. And
he's
a well-reputed, you know, idiot. But
yes.
A little motivational talk here between the outlaw Jesse James and Phineas, don't call me Midian, Godwin.
There we go. All right.
Blackjack Barry here hooking up.
Yep.
I was always a big fan of Barry Windham. Oh!
Yeah, that's a shot right there.
That was coming from Sweetwater. It'll be a slam.
He's made himself look like Blackjack.
Yes, when Barry got older, the weight got to be a little bit of a thing, and I think I still think he was that interested.
Yeah, I mean, it was easier to pass him off as Blackjack Windham at that point. Yeah,
yeah. Of course, here's Blackjack Bradshaw, of course, getting his first real big push. When he came in, I liked it when he was Justin Hawk Bradshaw. I always liked John's work. I thought he was very credible. And of course, he took his opportunity and ran with it. He had a very good career. And, you know, there's been a lot of stories of different things. They said that he was this or he was that in the locker room. But you know, you can't necessarily always take those things for – you got to kind of take those things in stride a little bit. Again, this was a man's business.
All right. Okay, so Road Dogg and Billy Gunn did not want to tag in case you missed that.
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely. Look at the youngest of the Armstrong clan. God, he looks so much like his dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ever saw pictures of Bullet Bob before his accident, he's a dead ringer.
Right.
They're dead ringer.
Well, my favorite was his T-shirt after he won the tag titles. It said, "Look, Ma, no curse." Yeah.
Henry O. Godwin here, the Hog.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
The hog man laying it in on Bradshaw. See, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the talent in this match.
No, there isn't.
That it's when I laugh and I jest about this match, it's not because these guys are substandard talent, because they're all good workers.
Yeah.
They're all good workers, but at various different stages of their career, on the ascent or on the descent. So, again, a lot of times it has to do with character and push. None of these guys at this point, the Outlaws were on their way up, but nobody else was really clicking.
Right.
They hadn't really clicked with the Blackjacks thing, and the
Headbangers got a transitional run as champion.
As did the Godwins.
Yep.
A year or so earlier.
Right.
You know. Oh.
Ooh, yep.
Ran right into that. These are all guys who are. There's a real credibility thing going on in this match. Stepping back a little bit. Nice. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Got him.
Snagged it. Abdominal stretch crotch hold, for lack of a better way of putting it there.
Yep.
That's a good finish.
No, that is. Now we're at 4-on-3.
I like that about the Survivor Series matches, because it all
you
just
do those.
You have to be able to bring stuff in that you may not ordinarily use, you know, because you're going to have 15, 20 minutes out here with, you know, 8 or 9, depending on the number of guys, eight or nine different finishes. Nice suplex by Barry. He's still good.
These are all going to be 4-on-4. And our featured match here is the Team USA versus Team Canada Survivor Series match. The Patriot, Del Wilkes, was supposed to be the captain for Team USA, but he's got a torn tricep. So it looks like Vader is going to step in as the team captain.
Wow. Here comes Barry with that patented clothesline of his.
Okay. Yep. There we go.
Left the back door open, however. Of course, you know, who could ever forget Naked Midian?
Lord knows I've tried.
Just some stuff's just silly, and you remember it. Is that it? Barry's out?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
I
out.
Guess so, yeah.
He has been eliminated, Blackjack Barry.
3-on-3, here we go. Ooh.
Anyway, I was starting to tell a story. I remember like in late 92 when Henry O. Godwin was still, what was he, Tex Slassinger? Shanghai Pierce, because Midian was the other one.
Yeah, Midian was Mark Cannon. Well, Tex Slassinger. Okay, yeah, Midian was Shanghai Pierce, so.
I enjoyed those guys. See, these guys had several years as a tag team.
Right.
And I liked Tex and Shanghai, and then they came over here as the Godwins, and I enjoyed the Godwins because, I mean, this was the – I mean, but back then you put the guys together, and they were tag teams for a number of years. Same thing with the Bangers. Right. Headbangers had done time in Smoky Mountain and Ozark Mountain, and probably they did a lot of stuff, and they were both from New Jersey, and they did a lot of independent stuff up there for Larry Sharp and – You know, the tag team divisions, people kind of scoff at it now, but back then, most of these teams were together for years, you know, up and down the cards. And, you know, I miss those days. I miss, you know. Oh, we're finally going to kind of get a look at the recently Rockabilly, Billy Gunn. I don't know if he's an ass man quite yet, but
no, he's not. Definitely not yet.
He's kicking Chaz's ass. Who's our referee here? Is it Mike Doan?
Jack Doan. Yeah, I think so.
Jack Doan. Sorry. Okay. Vince has made so many of his referees anonymous. Sometimes it's hard to remember their names.
Yep.
What about the retirement? We haven't even talked about. Never even mentioned that. You know. What? I guess we're gonna wait. The Vince McMahon retirement?
Oh, yeah. The thing is, he's retired and they don't want him, you know, running the business anymore, he still owns more than 50% of the company. So you can't, you know.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? So if you piss him off, I guess he decides to sell to, you know, if you piss them off too much, he'll sell it to like Fox or NBC or something, I guess.
Yeah. What was, didn't Tony, I heard and read somewhere, but you don't know how much validity there is to that.
No.
That Tony Khan made some kind of snarky comment. About
yes, he
this.
Did.
What'd he say?
Yes. He said, he's pleased to be the longest tenured CEO in professional wrestling, I think he said.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, you don't forget this, you know. Well, I don't know.
Well, you know, it's
I think it's kind of inappropriate for Tony Khan to talk of. Of course, he always goes and talks about his numbers and all kinds of other stuff.
Right.
Anyway, hell of a football team you got there, Tony.
Well, he's got. Well, I mean, he's definitely better at wrestling than he is at football. So. And Mosh is eliminated. Uh-oh.
Mosh is out.
3-on-2.
Is Road Dogg hurt? He ain't been in this match yet.
I don't know. That's a good question, sir. Let me see here. I guess I got to scroll down a lot to get to that. Okay.
Crowd is going nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And then still, remember, based on push, the Blackjacks and the Headbangers against the Godwins and the Outlaws, and the crowd is feverish.
Well, the crowd's, I mean, the crowd's hot, but they're, you know, they're, I mean, it's a one-match show, kind of. I'm really, I guess you could call it a two-match show.
The Stone Cold comes back.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I think with his one and done return match with Owen Hart.
Yeah, they don't. Well, he doesn't talk about whether. I'm not seeing anything in here about whether Road Dogg is injured. That's it. But he does mention that Wyndham did not look good in this match. Oh well,
I didn't think he looked bad.
Okay.
I mean, in regards to his movements, and you know.
I mean, he looked. If you hadn't seen him in a while, I guess he looked heavy. But they should be used to that by now.
Yeah, that's the one thing that Barry carried around those last 6 or 7 years of his full time career: the weight.
Mm-hmm.
He had, you know.
Right. Okay. Oh my goodness.
So, what do you think about the Flair angle in the parking lot? Since we're here in a lull.
I haven't looked. I mean, I read it, but I don't remember because I was looking at the Vince stuff, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take a look at it, and we'll talk about it some other time soon. Because it's interesting in the sense I understand what they're doing. But it's like, not only did I see the video stuff, I watched that, but the all the podcast stuff kind of comes across a little... I don't know. We could discuss it at more length once you watch it.
Yeah. I haven't. I'm just not. I'm not gonna watch this. I mean, I'll probably watch it down the line at some point. But you know, I'm not exactly chomping at the bit to see it.
I might watch it. Here's the part where it's like they do this. Of course, you know, they're doing this thing in episodes and so forth that, and Jarrett and Lethal and all that with Flair, and then like. Almost as an aside, they add in, without any real context, they add in that Andrade is going to be his partner.
Yeah.
Well, he's a tough son of a bitch, and he's my son-in-law.
Right.
This is like after this, without having him referenced or appearing or anything else to it, it's like you can... these guys have sold a lot more tickets for this thing than I'll ever sell as a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm. But of course, you know, they have something marketable.
Yeah, this you don't have. I mean, if you had Ric Flair for a show, you might do pretty well. I don't know.
Yeah. And if I.
But and plus, my main thought is if this works, there's going to be another Flair match.
Of course, there is.
Yeah.
If this is going to go on tour, and it's already worked. They've already sold out the building, 9,000 seats.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Nice. Wow.
2, 3.
Okay, here comes Road. And here's Road Dogg. All right, so there's 2-on-2. There we go. All right. Here comes JBL. Oh.
Hmm. This, you know. But you can tell by the different podcast stuff about the Flair thing. It's like they're trying to do the whole work shoot thing.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like they have to bring in all this, other stuff, you know, which is not pertinent to the story. It doesn't matter.
Right.
When Flair sits there and laughs about it and goes, oh, "We're gonna get you." You know, you don't get that same feeling that you got when Flair 20 years ago would get bloodied up and he would just come up to you like a madman and he's going to beat up everybody. You know, and then we got a reference that, you know, Jerry.
Oh, was that a three count?
Maybe.
Yep.
And the reference that Jarrett was only world champion because he bought TNA. And it's just that kind of stuff.
That's unnecessary, and it's not true. Let us
stay in our fantasy worlds. Can we not talk about, you know?
There we
go. Shoot to work. And look at the right hands here.
Yep. Boom. Oh yeah. All right, one on two. Oh, there's a Shawn Michaels fan there. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the classics.
Using some inappropriate, non-politically correct language there.
Yeah, they had that during the Attitude Era. Just in case, in case you're new to the show, yeah.
Yeah, if you're new to the world.
Yeah, or if you're new to professional wrestling. Life was different back then in 1997. Yeah. Nobody's looking at their phones for one thing.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, this nice.
Something more interesting to see.
Nice takeover.
Pump handle.
There we go. Up, oh, blind tag to Billy Gunn. Oh, look out. Pump handle time. Ooh, oh, nice.
Getting a position for that.
Oh, oh nice wow. Block.
Oh, he caught a boot.
the breeze from Billy Gunn's leg drop caught him and knocked him over.
Knocked the air out of him.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
You know, what's ridiculous is that Billy Gunn looks better now than he did.
Oh yeah, he does. He does. Hey, all right, your winners and Soul Survivors, the Road Dog and Billy Gunn. He's badass Billy Gunn at this point. That's right.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Let's get it from a different angle. Good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. One that makes it look like he almost hit him.
That's good work, okay? Good work by your director. Yeah. Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler are announcing the show, and Vince McMahon is not. And that's different, by the way. Vince was doing all the pay-per-views up to this point.
I'm on a one-minute commercial here.
Okay, well, we're about to... You're missing the entrance of the Truth Commission.
Am I? The
Truth Commission, yes. Here we go. The Jackal Don Callis leading his men to the ring. Let's see. It's Bull Buchanan and friggin' Kurgan and the other guy. I don't know. Yeah.
The Truth Commission.
Okay. Kurgan is the interrogator here. That's what they're calling.
Oh, yes. The Truth can. Yes, yes, yes.
Sniper, recon, and. Okay, here we go. Yeah.
What happened to the Commandant? Why did they quit bringing him? I know he was a non wrestler. He was just an actor playing a role.
That might be
one. Kind of a first. And then they put in Don Callis. He was, a very talented guy.
Yep.
Okay, I'm back down. I'm probably just not going
to
catch.
Yeah, just go ahead and fast forward to where they're in the ring. You didn't miss anything here. Truth Commission, WWF. Okay, let's see here. And here comes the opposition. Oh, yes, the Disciples of the Apocalypse, the DOA. Crush, Chains, Skull, and 8-Ball on their beautiful Titan bikes.
Yeah, I love the idea of military heel combination. I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea of this. This is just like old wrestling 101. But the talent, you know,
all right, so
big guys you're trying to.
Okay, the Truth Commission started in the, they ran the gimmick in the USWA. Recon and Kurgan captured the USWA Tag Team Champions. Tank wins the USWA title. Tank, by the way, was Mike Halleck, a.k.a. Mantar, who is not here. The Commandant was an actor named Robin Smith, who had met Bret Hart while he was shooting a movie with him, and he managed them for 9 months until Don Callis took over. Yeah.
Okay. And their opposition here, mm-hmm. pretty well noted group of tough guys here. Even without the bike entrance, I've never liked motorcycle entrances in wrestling.
No.
And this is why. You can't really get the speed or anything. You just kind of looks kind of clunky.
Well, we let
the bikes around.
We let Switchblade do his motorcycle entrance at one time.
Yeah,
but
we were in a great big open field.
Yeah, that made it easier.
Made it fun. Yeah, but when you're just trying to take your bikes around the ring, it kind of lacks a little something. Or if you're trying to like drag Hulk Hogan around.
Well, yeah, of course. Yes, we'll have to do that show at some point. Luke Poirier is sniper.
Had a cup of coffee in the mid 80s in the WWE.
Right, and he's back.
Remember
here.
That they recorded a lot of material out of like Ontario mm-hmm. and so forth. I remember Luke Poirier getting a match maybe with Terry Gibbs or mm-hmm. a match or two. It was because All Star Wrestling is before they switched the shows to Wrestling Challenge and Superstars. Yeah. You know,
there comes the Kurgan. Oh no.
So you saw a lot of those different matches. I saw Eduardo Carpanchie on one of those Saturday morning shows.
Right.
Of course, you know that here's Brian.
All right, Kurgan with a slide slam.
Now, so I'm a little behind you, I guess. He just tossed him into the corner, and this is
all right. Chains has been eliminated, so we've got Crush and the Harris Brothers against the Truth Commission.
Chains. Did he ever work anywhere in wrestling after the alleged Brian?
Brian Lee. Brian,
yeah.
Yeah, worked in TNA a bunch. Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that. I guess that makes sense because him and the Harris brothers are like Harris brothers or something.
Yep.
So that at least makes some sense. So he's out. Two refs are in. This is one big tag. This is
okay. Here's Recon. Recon is Bull Buchanan, and he's doing the front slam here. Yeah. When and hot tag to Don Callis. All right, let's see what the Jackal is up to. Oh, knee drop.
I got to catch up with you here because I don't know exactly where you're at. I think I'm a couple seconds behind you.
Jackal. Jackal's in trouble. Boom, boom, boom. Oh. Got him spinning side slam, and that should do it for the Jackal. Jackal's eliminated. 3-on-3.
Hey, where are you at time-wise? I think
oh, geez. Here we go. Okay, 29 minutes and 2 seconds, 3 seconds, 4 seconds.
There. Keep going. I'll be there. You count me down when you get to 10.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay. Come on, Sniper. Sniper gets shot off the ropes. Duck under. Crossbody. And that's 2.
Yes, I'm back with you here.
And Don Callis joins the commentary team. Now that he's been eliminated.
He's the manager. He's been pinned, and now he's in the commentary. He's a good talent, but he has no heat here.
Nope.
Or they would have saved him for the end.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we go. Tag into Crush.
This has not been, which is okay.
It's a second match. You know, it's
has not been pretty.
Nope.
But they're all heavyweights. They're all
big, big guys, except for Don Callis. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's
All right. Got Recon struggling against Crush.
Is Recon Rick Poirier?
No, Recon is Bull Buchanan.
Okay. He had a cup of coffee too. He was like John Cena's.
He was John Cena's guy, and he was a tag team champion as part of the Right to Censor with The Godfather.
Okay, right. Now, one of these guys, was Luke Poirier Rambo?
Yes, Luke Poirier was Rambo. That's Sniper.
Okay. Wow.
I know.
This is coming undone badly.
Mm-hmm.
This is
and there's still five more guys that got, there's still like one more team that's got to get eliminated. So, yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean, again, I try not to ever take a dump on wrestlers.
We'll just say they're struggling here. Okay. How about that?
Yeah. But some of this stuff is like guys who've like never had matches before. And in Kurgan's case, he probably didn't. But some of these guys have been around a long time.
Yeah. The Harris brothers don't have really an excuse. Oh, there we go.
No.
And now it's 3-on-2. Okay. There's Sniper. Okay. Oh, got him.
The idea that Luke Poirier was the world champion in Germany just speaks to how strong either A, the talent pool was in Otto Wanz's promotion or his ability to just make foreigners.
Oh. Oh, no. Kurgan's, the referee is distracted by Kurgan.
Oh, man. He's been there all night. He's been covered. Yeah. I'd be protesting that one.
Right. I like how he's got his pants pulled up there, Kurgan. Yeah. Okay.
Right to the back of the head.
Yeah, there we go. All right, Bulldog. And now it's 2-on-2. Okay, go to hell, says somebody. That's nice.
Not so sure we're not already there.
Hell.
Oh, no. Big clothesline there.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Coming up next, we're going to see a guy who we were supposed to work with. Supposed to be on a show with in Pennsylvania, and turned out not to happen.
Well, there's probably a few of those, but who was it?
Yeah.
Crush, did you see the tag?
Yeah.
He's trying the tag. Crush is messing with his hair.
Yeah.
That's just funny. Who was we supposed to work with? I forget.
Oh, that's going to be in the next match, yeah.
Okay. So, I guess that'll be a spoiler for me here. We'll get to it. Oh, look at that, yeah.
I'll give you a hint. He's the guy who's going to replace Del Wilkes in the match. And we did actually work a couple shows with Del Wilkes. So.
Yes, and he was a super guy.
Yeah.
He had a hard time letting go after his career was over.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, we need to have Bob Keller on at some point. Yeah, he was closer to Bobby than he was to me.
I never understood the, I guess sometimes there's a lot to the core to the story, the whole Del Wilkes, Tom Brandy scenario.
I think we were on the periphery of that, because I'm guessing that was the night he allegedly sold the gimmick to Tom Brandy.
Right.
Yeah,
so we were there. Different stories, and it was different this, different that, and But once he wasn't working anymore, I don't know what difference it made, but he would go out of his way to try to bury Tom and bury him. All the way up to a couple of weeks before his passing, he had made a comment on a Facebook post.
There we go. Kurgan's got him. Oh, dear. Okay.
I mean, he was burying our show because, blah, blah, blah. And it, you know, Bobby Fulton, of all people, had to step in and say, yeah, you know what, people? Dell's a friend of mine. Tom's a friend of mine. No one's saying this is Del Wilkes.
We didn't say it was Del Wilkes.
Yeah.
Patriot, man.
Stop. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just so, you know, but I mean, may he rest in peace, you know. Yeah. He was a genuinely good guy who had good intentions.
I know. Yeah. But, I mean, but there was a point there where, you know, Tom Brandy looked more like the Patriot than Del Wilkes did, so.
I'm sure. Absolutely. And it ain't like he ever did it any injustice. I mean.
No.
What is this?
Nice slam there by Crush. Oh, Crush gets Sniper, and we're down to Crush and the Interrogator. And let's
side slam from Kurgan one more time.
Uno dos adios, as Mike Adamley would say, and that's it. And by the way, that was it for Brian Adams. He got released that week. That was his last match in that run.
Okay.
So yeah.
Obviously Kurgan stuck around because he.
Yeah, Kurgan was the guy they had plans for.
I love the jockey pants on Callis.
Oh yeah.
He couldn't have been any more ill fit for this gimmick. good talent. I guess they're just trying to find some place for him to be, but
yeah, that's it.
Not.
Okay.
Yeah. He wasn't going to get these guys over.
Pillman was the man sign. Yeah, he was. So, yeah. There we go. Boom. The side slam.
Trying to get the side slam over.
My man Muhammad Kane got the side slam over, but that's another story. All right. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen in the main event, according to Jim Ross. Yeah, I guess. Okay. Aaron.
Thank you, Tony Khan.
Okay. Bret Hart, friend. Okay.
That's right. We got a lot of French.
Oh, the Quebecois. Yeah.
Kevin Owens.
Yes. The Blue Blazer checking in.
Yeah. Stop by Tom Brady's gimmick table.
Right. We're selling Mr. Socko.
Yeah. or the Lucha mask. It's commercial time for me.
Yeah, it's commercial time for me. But we're getting a shot of the Molson Center where the Montreal Canadiens played, whatever.
Was it torn down now?
I don't. It's definitely has a different name, I'm guessing. So. Yeah. Oh, who do we have? Oh, the America Online room. Kevin Kelly is there.
Well, you know, that was, but again, that stuff was just really starting to take off.
WWF is on America Online, and Steve Austin is dictating to whoever's typing in the America Online stuff.
It's the updated version of the 900 line at this point, is what this is.
Yeah.
10 seconds and my commercials will end.
Yeah. Steve Austin trying to look cool while talking to a guy who's typing
stuff. The opposite of cool.
Yeah. Right. Join us on America Online. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Then click on international and then on sports. Then look. Okay. Yeah. It was a little different then, folks.
It was in its infancy.
Guy in a suit typing stuff on the internet. USA sucks. Awesome. Thank you. Domino's pizza sucks. Okay. Cool. All right. Oh, Milton Bradley hosted a party. A karate fighter's party. Okay. Oh, Vince. Oh, it looks like Jim Ross has a nice tux there. Okay, here we go. Team USA and Team Canada. Team Canada. The British Bulldog, Jim Neidhart, Doug Furness, and Phil LaFon. And Team USA, Vader, Goldust. And I forget who the third guy is. And, of course, the Lethal Weapon, Steve Blackman, filling in for the Patriot. Yeah. Steve Blackman ran in from out of the crowd to beat up Furness and LaFon.
Okay.
Right. Oh, and he gets speared by Neidhart.
Something like that.
Boomada, boomada, boomada. Okay. Vader saves Blackman. Gets a 4-on-1 stomping here. 4-on-2.
Okay. That's what I think I'm about right there, because I fast-forwarded. Yeah. The referees are trying to break up this heinous attack.
Referees and the, I guess, security or whatever.
There's Gurria. There's
Patterson, yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Blackman getting escorted out of the building.
So who were we supposed to work with out of this?
Blackman was supposed to be on the show in Pennsylvania. Oh, and Mark Mero is the fourth guy on the USA team. There he is. Mark Mero with a shaved head. Okay. Wow. All right, here's Team USA.
Mm-hmm. Now they're going to the promo with the babyface team.
Yeah. Right. What do they have in common? Nothing. Right. They don't like big mouth Canadians. You tell them, Vader. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's that, yeah, Goldust is alive again now that he has dumped Marlena.
Forever unchained.
That's right.
Off you.
Yes, Goldust has a new girlfriend at this time who we haven't met yet, but we will.
There you go.
It's America time.
Mark Mero has to be wondering, you know what? A year and a half ago, I was a bad man. Now I don't. Now I'm playing second fiddle to my wife.
Yep.
She's not gonna be around, but you know.
Yep. Don't bring your wife into the wrestling business. That's the moral of that story.
Yeah.
That's not the only story. That's the moral of. But. All right. French ring announcer. Yep.
He only lives right up the road here.
He's very intense guy.
Around Paris. Harrisburg. He did an independent show a couple of years ago, just like out of nowhere.
Yep. And they're coming out to the Patriots music, even though the Patriots not there. So, hey. All right. Gold Dust, about, 3 months pregnant at this point. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, Dustin. I know it was a rough time for him. Mark Mero. Vader and Blackman. Okay. Yeah, people do not like the American team here.
Yeah, the dual. Canadians are
baby faces here in '97, but not in America.
Even though all the trail is with their heels.
Right.
It's an interesting time.
Yes, it is.
Huge crowd.
I mean, the storyline worked, though. Yeah. It was, the Canadians and the British, they were eager to heel on America, so. Yeah. Noted Canadians Jim Neidhart and Doug Furness. Yeah.
Okay, so you got a British guy from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Guy from Tennessee or Oklahoma.
Yep. Team Canada, here they are. All right. Philippon does live in Calgary, according to Jim Ross. So there's at least one Canadian on Team Canada. Which is nice.
I think three or four of these guys actually live in Calgary.
Philophon. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Philophon actually born in Ontario, so I'll accept that. Canada.
Is Davey the captain of this team?
What's that? Yeah, Davey's the captain, yeah. All right. It's like the seventh game of the Stanley Cup, according to Jim Ross. Well, sure. And this is probably the most cheers that Doug Furness and Phil LaFon ever got in WWF. So.
Yeah, that was kind of a disappointing. But I think they were, I guess, let the work closer to home at this point, had been working with Baba as the middle card All Asian tag team champions for a number of years. That's a very physical style, a lot more physical than the Americans, an American fan probably knows. But these guys were top talent. They didn't have much left.
Yeah.
They didn't have much, steam in the engine.
Yeah. There we go. All right. They're pumped. We're back to, so 4 years after we did Bulldog and Vader and WCW, we're doing it again here in the WWF.
Big Beach Blast and Slamboree. That was good times. Yeah.
Those were good, yeah. That was good. That was fun. We can do those at some point. Okay. But yeah, this will be Steve Blackman's first WWF match. All right, Mero's starting things off against the Bulldog. Okay.
What was Blackman's? Probably his best run was
Head Cheese?
What do you think?
The feud with Shane McMahon?
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah, that was probably the most, that's probably the highest up he was. Yep. Oh, no.
I wonder how they found him. I mean, I knew at one point he actually worked Calgary.
I think that's it.
But he just kind of disappeared. And
well, it was a last minute thing. They needed a substitution for Del Wilkes. So. Yeah, I should look that up too. I was going to read all of this Bret Hart stuff, but I think it can wait. It's actually been interesting watching the show.
Interesting is a good word to describe what we've seen so far.
Yeah. Steve Blackman from Anvil, Pennsylvania. Okay.
Yeah. Just about an hour.
Competitive bodybuilder. Okay. Working for Stu Hart in Canada. Worked New Japan in 88. Okay. Yeah, let's see here. Worked WWF in 88. As a house show opponent for David Sammartino. And the Superstars. And let's see. Blackman was being considered for a full-time contract with the company when he contracted malaria and dysentery on a South African tour in 89 and was bedridden for 2 years. Let's see. Got himself back into working shape in 95. Got Brian Pillman and Owen Hart arranged a tryout for him and turns back up in 97. They found something for him.
Huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. No, and he did have a run where he was did have a run in 98 when he was Ken Shamrock's tag team partner.
Oh. Okay. He was European champion too for a while, was he not?
Okay.
Oof. My favorite run of the European Championship, I've probably mentioned this before, was when Al Snow had and he came out every week as a different gimmick,
European
with a different
country.
Version of with a different version of the his theme song.
I know, it was great.
that's fun when it's fun.
Yes. You know?
That's positioned to be fun. To have a good time with it.
Right. Okay. Blackman gets the run as hardcore champion, and and that's where we get the Blackman Shane McMahon match. Yes.
Okay.
Right. Oh, here comes Neidhart. They love Jim Neidhart here in Montreal.
A perennial cult favorite, if there ever was one, Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. Nope. Oh.
I have that. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I think I posted on Facebook that picture of me with Jim Neidhart when I'm like 20, 22 years old.
Yeah.
We're in the locker room and I got the sides of my head shaved and I'm making this wild face and he's just looking at me and pointing.
Right.
Love that photo.
Yep. Oh, yep. Probably right before he got back with the WWF.
I think he had been in and out. I think he had he had been there the previous year doing that DOF when he was Bret Hart's house show opponent after SummerSlam 94.
Oh, nice DDT. Oh. Blackman's still hanging in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. It's someday they give Blackman a shot instead of bringing in, say, Iron Mike Sharp to, you know, that wouldn't have worked, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
With a Brooklyn Brawler or somebody.
Yeah. They wonder how to get a hold of the Brooklyn Brawler. You know how to get a hold of him?
I don't actually. I thought you were going for a punchline or something, but you weren't, so.
No, literally, just the other day I was looking for different possibilities of guys to bring in. I added a fair.
Oh, you did. Good job.
I added a fair show. So yeah, we're triple shotting it this Labor Day weekend.
Oh man. Oh, yeah. And Labor Day weekend will also be that should be when the anniversary should. So that'll be our eighth year of that'll be eighth anniversary of Wayback Playback. So.
Oh wow.
Okay.
Better catch me early that week.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, because we'll be running Friday
we'll
night.
I don't even know what show we'll be doing, but I have a hunch. So
Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon.
Oh, Blackman's been eliminated. Oh no.
Big weekend for me. It's like my that's my seasonal closeout because nobody anymore wants to do sold shows in the winter. And the only people who want to do them anymore, summertime fairs and carnivals.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Okay, so let's see. The last appearance in WWF was the 25th anniversary Raw show. Okay.
Who, Neidhart?
No, Steve Lombardi.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Oh, and five-time APWF television champion. That's got to be a rib, right?
APWF television. I held that title.
Yes, you did. I don't think you ever lost it in the ring either. So.
Yeah, the much vaunted Allied Powers Pro Wrestling TV title, which we all jokingly see. I've had a few occasions like that. It's like I had one belt that I didn't lose in the ring, not because I lost my smile, but because
the show, the promotion, just sort of
Yeah, it's like Bobby Keller and I, it's funny because every year it comes up around July 4th. Oof. God,
Neidhart had the shoulder up, but it doesn't matter. So,
yeah, does not matter.
Yes, you've heard of the abandoned ship battle royal. You'd have the abandoned ship Survivor Series match.
Yeah, we gotta be on hit the cues. Like Bobby Keller and I went to we worked at an old Jim Hawkins show back in like 2000.
Oh yes, that's right, Jim Hawkins.
2008, and we won. We had this match that I think we wrestled with Roughhouse and Deuce Donatelli.
Okay.
And we wanted to do this 2 or 3 falls match. We had all this great stuff in mind, except for we got out there, and this was for the Jason Dixon Tag Team Championships or something.
Yes.
And we got out there in this match, and they could have carried less. It was just, it was too late in the evening, and you know, they had seen enough.
That happens, yeah.
So Bobby and I win these tag team belts from the guys who weren't the champions anyway. And we never lost them. So it's like every year on 4th of July, I'll post something about how Keller and I are still the Mason Dixon Tag Team Champion. And every year, Zubov comes back and says, no, me and so-and-so were the last champions.
Oh, man, you know, this will have to be settled at some point. Yeah.
I think it was him, and I think he said his partner was like Nikita Alanov.
Nikita Alanov. Who would ever forget Nikita Alanov? Wow. Hit 2, 3. Oh, Vader gets another fall. Oh, look at Vader.
It's time. It's
Red Furnace is here. Oh. All right, 3-on-2 here. Okay. There we go. All right, gonna tag in. No, he's not gonna tag him in.
Great drop kick. Had a great drop kick, but that wasn't a good example of it.
All right, tag DeMiro. Miro's going up. Oh. Yeah, Furnace, nice of Furnace to run under that one. Nice. Ouch. Okay. Yeah. All right. Furnace says hello and tags in Bulldog. Ugh. Okay. 6. All right, Davey Boy's fired up. Miro's in trouble. Oh, yeah, nice. Nice move there with the sunset flip. And now. Okay. I think we know what's coming here. Nope. What do you think, Shane? Mark Miro's getting a lot of offense here. Shane, you're still here, right? Well, we'll check in on Shane later. Okay. Look at Miro. There he is. All right, and there's Furnace. Wow, trading punches with Miro. Boom, boom. Okay. Yeah, you didn't want a close-up on that. We can see there's no follow-through on those punches. Here we go. Out of the corner. No. And Furnace grabs the tights, and it's 2-on-2. Vader and Gold Dust and Furnace and Bulldog. Oh.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
They're whipping right through this match.
Oh, yeah. 2-on-2. Oh, man. Okay. Poor Doug Furnace. They're still chanting for Sable, so.
She's the most over thing in this match, which is crazy.
Oh.
I mean, it's not that crazy, I guess, but.
No.
I think it's fair to say that no one ever became a bigger star, a bigger hit in wrestling for her period of time with less talent than Sable.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Goldust has the cast on his arm. Oh.
He hasn't been in this match yet either, has he?
No, he has not.
But heavy cast.
Yep.
Heavy, heavy cast.
Okay, hot tag coming up to Goldust. Goldust doesn't want to tag in. Oh. Got the short arm.
I think I saw this as a singles match 2 weeks later in Baltimore.
Yep.
Goldust and Vader.
They needed something. They needed a new rivalry, and there it was.
Rock was in the opening match that day, I think. But I can't remember.
Oh, he's moving out of the way. Oh, Goldust.
I guess the Rock's on the Nation of Domination team here later on in the show, I presume.
Yes, they do. That's something for next week, though. Low blow by Furnace.
Little teaser there, The Rock next week here on the show.
Yeah, The Rock. Okay. All right. I guess, as a matter of fact, I want to say, Survivor Series 97, that Ken Shamrock leads his men against the Nation of Domination next week. And another traditional Survivor Series matchup. How do you like that?
I, for the life of me, probably couldn't sit here and name three guys that tagged with Ken Shamrock in that match.
Well, you probably would if you guessed long enough. That's all I can.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Who's there yet.
All right. Well, next week's show will open up with a one-on-one Mankind versus Kane.
There you go. I think that was pretty impressive, that suplex on Vader by Furnace.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a bag of wheat that he's hauling over.
No, it's not. All right, here we go. No. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, they're smart enough to give the replay of that.
The Furnace version of the Frankensteiner.
All right, come on, Goldust, you gonna tag in? Just hit him. Vader just tags him. There you go. There you go. You're tagged. Yep, that's the tag. All right. In goes Goldust. Mm-hmm. All right. Up. Oh, there he goes. Alive again. There, and Goldust is going to walk out and take the count out.
Yeah, this is when his gimmick got really weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's not exactly getting the vote of confidence from management at this point either, so.
Well, he's apparently a mess.
Yeah.
At this point with his issues. And.
Yeah. Okay, so it's 1-on-2.
And, you know, characters and so forth aside, he's a world-class talent. He still is.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Still better than.
I'm glad it didn't end badly for him. So, yes.
He's still a better worker than 75% of the guys on the TV show he's on.
That's true. Oh, Vader's got up. Look, Bulldog's got the ring bell.
Uh-oh.
Okay. All right, there we go. So it's down to Vader and the Bulldog. Oh, somehow the referee missed that one, and the outside referee, and, well, it doesn't matter, does it? And the Bulldog gets the win at Survivor Series. He is your sole survivor. All right, Davey Boy.
Much to the pleasure of the big crowd here at the Molson Center.
Yay! Well,
they get adopted Canadian. Gets the
they needed one. Yeah. This is the largest crowd ever to witness a Survivor Series, according to Jim Ross. All right, and that's I think that's where we can leave it for this week. Let's go ahead and call a halt to it at 1 hour, 5 minutes, and 21 seconds as we look at the Karate Fighters blimp. All right, so let's see. That's a wrap here.
Do you want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business, the infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order? Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit, give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Okay, back from the commercial, and Shane, so next week, Ken Shamrock leads his team against the Nation of Domination team in a 4-on-4 Survivor Series match. But before that, it is Mankind against Kane with Paul Bearer. Wow, how is that for how's that for a teaser for next week, kids? You like that?
Yes, that's yeah. And again, my recollection was completely different of Kane's first pay-per-view opponent.
Okay, you don't remember Kane and Mankind?
No, not this time.
Yep. Okay. Well, I think Kane ends up going through all three faces of Foley before on his way to facing the Undertaker at WrestleMania. So yeah. Undertaker not wrestling on this show.
And he shouldn't have.
No, he shouldn't have. I mean, this.
Yeah.
It didn't make sense for it, but yeah, there we are. That's going to be next week. Also, you know, now that we finally got Survivor Series 97 picked, want to know if the listeners have any other Survivor Series shows that they want to see that we haven't done yet, because, you know, we're going to be coming up on November, and that's usually something that comes up. So let us know on and you can do it on Twitter, because I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Shane is at one only Shane Shad one. Jim is at Jim Valley, and Jim will be back with us before we hit the 8th anniversary show, because he wants to be in on this. So leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us also on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Doesn't matter where you get us, leave a positive review for us, and we thank you for the ones that we have, because we've got like either a 4.6 or a 4.7 out of 5 stars, and that's pretty good, folks, for as long as we've been doing this. And if you'd like to know more about Barry Windham or John Bradshaw Layfield or Billy Gunn or the Road Dog Jesse James, or for that matter, Kurgan, you can go ahead and check out pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, The Wrestling Observer, or you can download your local library app, because all this is in books. Shane.
Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, we'll be back here in 7 days. And enjoy SummerSlam, because you're going to get that before you get our next episode. How about that? SummerSlam season, Shane.
Absolutely, with probably the least interesting card on record.
I don't know. They might liven it up sometime. I mean, they have a few days to liven it up between now and then.
Yeah, we've had all summer.
Yeah, that's true. Or you can check out, they've got new episodes of, well, episodes that haven't been up. They got the fall of 95 WWF Superstars on there, including some matches that you haven't seen.
Check out Techno Team 2000. Yeah.
So. Well, it's not, no, it's, let's see. I think they've got, Diesel against Waylon Mercy for one thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Some more classics. Yeah. But, yeah, and be thinking about what you want to experience next on the next set of shows and on the 8th anniversary show, because we're gonna need something special for that, I think. And we're excited to have you on the show with us, and we're excited to the summer of Shane is continuing here, and we're glad we can do this with you. So until next time, go ahead, Shane.
I declare this the summer of Shane.
That's right. And Shane's going to be telling us all about his fair shows coming up. But until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.